Could you just pray for me for a moment? Pray that I'll speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what He wants you to hear. And let us entrust our prayers and each other to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The third sorrow of Mary is the losing of the child Jesus in the temple. Mother Marian's going to talk to you about that tomorrow. The fourth sorrow of Mary is the meeting of Mary with Jesus on the way of the cross, which corresponds with the fourth station of the cross. That's also the fourth sorrow of Mary. And it's beautiful that on today, when we celebrate the Annunciation, we can also look forward to that moment as they would meet on the way of the cross. Pope Benedict, or Cardinal Ratzinger, wrote at one point, "Devotion to Mary is always also devotion to the Passion. In the aged Simeon's prophecy that Mary's heart will be pierced by a sword, Luke has already linked incarnation," that's today, Annunciation, "incarnation and Passion, joyful and sorrowful mysteries. In the piety of the Church, Mary appears, as it were, as the living Veronica icon, as the icon of Christ that makes Him present to the human heart, transfers His image into the purview of the heart, and so makes it comprehensible. Incarnation becomes a way that, on the cross, does not revoke the taking of flesh, but gives it its final definition. In this sense, the medieval extension of devotion to Mary beyond Advent and the whole range of salvation mysteries is in complete accord with the logic of biblical faith." So, Our Lady belongs, we think of her very much in Advent, and the majority of the texts about her in the Bible are from the infancy narratives, the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel and the first two chapters of Matthew's Gospel. And yet, our faith has drawn her, has seen her, in the context of all of the mysteries, that she has a way of taking the face of Jesus, like that image of Veronica. Veronica's the one who wipes the face of Jesus, and the napkin on which the imprint of Jesus' face is still held in veneration. But that idea of Mary is the one on whom the face of Jesus has been imprinted, and then she brings that to our hearts. She's the mother that tells us about her son. She's the mother who shares that image of him. As an infant, she shares the baby with us, and in his suffering, she shares the image of his suffering face with us. She's the mother who shares the son with us. Mary is always the place, we might say, she's always present when we encounter Jesus. So I've mentioned just in our little morning meditation, whenever you read the Psalms, for example, and you come to Mount Zion or the Holy Mountain or the Holy City, Jerusalem, or any of these kind of mountain or city imagery that's used in the Old Testament, you can always replace the name of Mary for those. Mary's son. Mary is Mother Zion, or Daughter Zion. Said again simply, Mary is the place. That's what the holy city is. That's what the holy mountain is. It's the place where we encounter God. Mary is that place. When we come to her, she's always holding Jesus in her arms. She's always with him on the way of his cross. She's always the place that we encounter him. How much more wonderful to encounter him in her arms than to have to climb a big mountain. So much more humane, our faith in these days. So, we come to Mary to meet Jesus. And she's the one that can bring us into the way of the cross. It's beautiful to make the stations of the cross, walk the way of the cross with Mary. There's something tenderizing about that. The way of the cross by itself can seem very stark, very harsh, a lot of blood, suffering, a lot of agony. But when we experience it with Mary, there's still a lot of blood and suffering and agony, and yet there's a mother's heart. There's something soft and tender, and there's also a mother's strength. She never leaves her son's side. And so she's the one that encounters him on the way of the cross. And when they have that meeting, something profound takes place. I always have etched in my mind's eye the image from Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Cross, when Jesus stumbles and falls and Our Lady runs over to him and their faces meet. There's just a profound camera angle where his face is here and her face is there, and they're looking at each other. And I always want to live like right here, right in between those two faces. They don't even need to pay attention to me. I just want to be in the midst of that gaze, because that gaze goes infinitely deep. That gaze is a gaze of love given and received, that goes infinitely deep. And to bring us back around to our gospel for a moment, these words of the angel to Mary are the strongest scriptural evidence for the dogma that we hold of the Immaculate Conception. This little phrase, full of grace, that we say over and over again in our rosary and our Hail Marys. Full of grace in Greek is ke charitomene. Say that three times fast. And to give you just a very brief Greek lesson, in the middle of that, ke charitomene is kari tao, which has in it charis, which you might recognize from charisma, or charismatic, or charism, and it means grace. Charis means grace. Kari tao is to be affected or transformed by grace. And ke charitomene is a completed action. It means she has been transformed by grace. Done. Grace has made its full effect on her. So when Jerome brought that into Latin, he used that gratia plena, full of grace, that she is full of grace. But we can think of her as being fully transformed by grace. Each of us is in the process of caritao, of being transformed by grace, but she was already, at her encounter with the angel, fully transformed by grace. God had already brought her through the full transformation by his grace, perfected in grace. So what we have in Our Lady is what God also wants to do with us. That's the important thing to note about her. Sometimes we just imagine her so distant, so wonderful, and so completely inaccessible and unrelatable because she's without sin and we aren't. But what she has gone through, we also are going through. And so what we see in her is what we are to become. It's what God wants to make each one of us, fully transformed by grace. And then, what are the effects of that? That's also important for us to take as we look at that encounter with Jesus in the Passion. The effects of being fully transformed by grace, it doesn't mean that she's not touched by things anymore. It doesn't mean that she's more distant. It doesn't mean that she's more cut off. To the contrary, it's sin that divides. It's sin that darkens our minds. It's sin that keeps us distant and closed and hardened. Our Lady is free of sin, and so she feels more intensely than any of us. She is more sensitive than any of us. She is more open and receiving from us and ready for us to receive from her. She's closer to us than anyone, because she's without sin. She doesn't have all these defenses. All of us, because of our sin and because of our human weakness, we need a lot of defenses. And so we hide behind personas and we go into denial and we have a snack in the middle of the day and we watch a little television and we run, somewhere else and we do get some things done so we feel better about ourselves. We've got a lot of different kinds of defenses that we use to kind of comfort ourselves and shield ourselves from the full onslaught of how hard life is. But she has no defenses. She's just totally exposed. And the only way that she can do that is because she remains in perfect love. And so she remains strengthened by him. So when Mary encounters Jesus on the way of the cross, she feels the full brunt of his suffering. She takes all of it. It imprints itself entirely in her heart. She takes all of it into herself so that she becomes that living icon of his mysteries, of his passion. So we can feel the depth of her sorrow. We've all been in situations that because we loved someone enough, we were open to really share in their suffering, in their tears, in their pain. We've been beside the bed of someone who was dying, or we've been there when somebody received the news that they had cancer. We've been there when somebody maybe lost a loved one. And if we loved them enough, then we opened ourselves and made ourselves vulnerable to their suffering. And we allowed it to make a real imprint on our hearts. And what a gift that was to that person, that you could cry with them, that you could really feel their pain. It's not something that we can just kind of whip up. It's something that rises up from within, and there's a resonance, a correspondence with the suffering that someone goes through. And that's the compassion of Our Lady. Because of her sinlessness, she wasn't more distant, sort of sitting in her own little porcelain perfection out in her little tea party somewhere. She's fully into the midst of our very messy lives, and she allows all of it to dirty her, to affect her. So the blood of Jesus is on her face as he reaches out and touches her, so that she gets into the mess of all of our problems. She's not a mother who stays at a distance, but a mother who fully immerses herself into the lives of her children. And that's how close she draws to us as well in everything that we're going through. She's a mother that draws close because she is without sin. And she sees clearly also to guide us and advise us because her mind isn't darkened by sin. That means that she sees still through the veil of faith. She doesn't have the beatific vision on this earth. She sees through the veil of faith, but she sees the divine mysteries. She understands who is the Son of God. And she also understands nature. She understands our human nature. She understands our littleness and our childlikeness. So she'd be a good psychologist. Mary understands how we work, and her mind isn't darkened by sin. She's not clouded over by her own anxieties and passions and everything else. She's able to be totally open as a gift to us. So we get that from that word of the angel, full of grace, Kei Charitomene. She's transformed to be able to draw truly close to us. We also can see in the encounter of Mary and Jesus on the way of the cross, we don't hear a lot about her. Actually, that's also the one sorrow of Mary that doesn't have a scriptural component to it. That's another one of those things that we know that she was there at the end, and so she must have been there at some point along the way. That's just one of those little mathematical derivations that we do in our Catholic minds. She didn't just sort of appear at the end. She must have been, in fact, walking with him along the way of the cross. And it's one of the things I find, again, very beautiful about Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. There are several points that Jesus seems to be at the end. It's like he doesn't have any more energy left. When he's beaten to the ground and he's just laying there for a moment, and then he looks over and he sees her. And strength wells up from this mysterious place within him, and he rises again to his feet in order to take more blows of the scourge for us, for her. You know, in a certain way, everything Jesus does is for her. It's also for us, but allow me to just go in that direction for a moment. When he sees his mother, he does everything for her. That's how great his love is for her. And theologically, he is earning her Immaculate Conception. She was able to be conceived without sin because he died on the cross. And so he can't behold her beauty without also his willingness to pay the price for that beauty. Now, he does that for her, but remember what I said. Everything that we can say about Mary is also what God is doing for us. He looks at us that way. When he sees you on the way of the cross, he finds strength to stand up and take more of the blows of the scourge. I had this very deep experience in watching that movie. The first time and subsequent times during that scene, I felt this absolute tearing within me. Everything was screaming, stop, make it stop. This can't go on. And another part of me was recognizing, this is my salvation. Please don't stop. Please don't give up, Jesus. I need this. I know that I'm completely dependent on what you are suffering right now. And no part of me wants you to suffer like that. And every part of me knows that I need that. Jesus draws strength from seeing us. He's willing to suffer for us out of his love for us. And Our Lady is right there as the one who is also aware. She doesn't also walk in this kind of pristine grandeur like, oh, I didn't cause any of this. This isn't my fault. I'm the one that committed the sins that are causing this to happen to us. She doesn't have any of that because she knows that her whole existence is dependent on this gift of God's love, which is ultimately revealed to us on the cross. And so she walks along with him, also totally dependent in her existence on his suffering, and also totally compassionate to what he's going through. And that motherly love pours out of her, and it brings him strength. What's depicted in that movie is something real. You bring him strength. Your prayers bring him strength. Your accompaniment brings him strength. As Our Lady brought him strength. We weren't there the first time through, but every time we assist at the Mass, every time we assist somebody who's suffering, every time we draw close to him mysteriously in prayer, our presence also gives him strength to keep going. And that way Our Lady stands in that position, but all of us in the church are also in Our Lady. She's the perfect center of the church. And so everything we say about the church, we can always say about Our Lady. So if we're in the church, we're also in Our Lady. So all of us in the church, in Our Lady, are also there mysteriously as Jesus is making his way of the cross, and we give him strength by our prayers. We support him by our love. It makes a difference to him that we have compassion. So we can take this in two directions. One is that Mary comes to meet us in our trials. As much as she was there to meet Jesus, to support him, to offer her compassion, to really be inside of our trials, she goes to hold his hand, as it were. She goes to touch his face. She goes just to give him a word of support. She cries out in the movie, right? I'm here for you. And then she has that flashback to when he was a little boy and he fell, and she ran to him the same way and reached down and reached out her hand and picked him up and drew him close and held him close to her heart. I'm here for you. And she's the same way with us. She will always be there for us with a mother's tender love. She'll always be there to pick us up. As old and sophisticated as we are, there is a little child in every one of us that needs to be held by a mother. Now, our own mother may not be alive, and if she is alive, she may not be strong enough to hold her, to hold us. And none of us fit on her lap anymore anyway. But we do fit on the lap of Mary. We do fit in the arms of Mary. We do fit close to the heart of Mary. And so we can allow ourselves to be a little child held by her and feel all of our hurts. Sometimes we also brush things aside and we say, oh, you know, other people are suffering so much worse things. What is this? It's a stubbed toe. It's just a little setback. It's a little failure. It's a little misunderstanding. I know it's not a big deal. Well, it's the pain you got. Work with the pain you got. Whatever it is, God always gives us the grace to handle whatever trials he's giving us. So we should never dismiss our suffering as if it doesn't matter, but all of it is deserving of being in the arms of Mary. All of it is deserving of being embraced by her. What we see on the way of the cross is the greatest suffering, in fact, all suffering that ever existed. That's what Jesus bears in himself. Everybody's suffering from the beginning of time to the end of time. Okay, now none of us are suffering that way. We can be clear about that. But what the scripture is telling us is not just that the greatest suffering is worthy of this mother's attention, but because the greatest is, all others are as well. That's the Catholic logic that we have to apply in these situations. Every suffering is in that moment, including whatever little things that you're going through now or whatever great things you're going through now. All of it is in that moment. And if we can allow ourselves to be cared for, held by Mary, it matters. It helps. It gives us strength. We find that hidden strength surge up from within us, and we're able to take another step forward. We're able to find some hope that this is meaningful, and we can take a step forward on this way of the cross. Even if we know there's more suffering to come, it helps so much to have a mother at our side. And what happens then is, many times we find ourselves in a position of having to be the strong one, and we don't have the permission to be weak. Maybe we're in a position of carrying through in our family. We have to support people. We can't show our weakness because other people are depending on us. It's a real burden to be the strong one. Now, sometimes that's self-imposed. There are people who would help us if we would let them. We have to be careful about that. Where are the areas in our lives that we're not allowing ourselves to be weak, and we're not allowing someone else to support us? We have to be aware of that. The more that we can open up our weakness to others, the more that we tend to fit together, and the body of Christ is knitted together through these strengths and weaknesses. But we can also, no matter whether we have to truly be the strong one or not, I know there are mothers who are dealing with children with addictions and dealing with husbands or men dealing with wives who have terrible problems, sometimes mental problems, children with special needs. There are a lot of difficulties that all of you bear in different ways, rifts in families and so many trials. And we do have to be strong in some of those situations, and we carry toe the line and move forward. But there's a part of us also that's very weak. And we need to know that there is one who is strong for us. And we can allow that weakness to encounter the strength of Mary. She can be strong. And we can allow ourselves to be little, to cry, to express our need, and just to be held. These are the good things that happen when we're able to draw close to that mystery of Mary meeting Jesus on the way of the cross. So as we celebrate this Feast of the Annunciation, we also think of how Our Lady at some level knew all the way at the beginning what she was saying yes to. She didn't know the details. God preserved her from the details, because she would have taken them all into her heart already at the beginning. But she knew that she was saying yes to something that was way, way beyond her. And we also are in a position of saying yes to things that we may not know the details, but we know it's way beyond us. Our Lady is the one that can help us to do that. So all the way at the beginning, she says yes. And she also stores all of these things. The words of the angel become a real source of strength for her. And that's the case for us. Pope Francis just said it on Wednesday in his general audience. He said, where do we find endurance and encouragement as pathways of hope? From God's word in sacred scripture. It really is such a source of strength for us. He said a couple weeks ago, if we were as attached to the Bible as we are to our cell phones, what a difference that would make in our lives. Right? If we read from the Bible as much as we read from our cell phones, what a difference that would make in our lives. But we find real strength in the Word of God, in Scripture, in His promises. And Our Lady did too. All this whole account of the Annunciation that we just heard, who was there to witness that? Nobody. So where did we get this account from? Well, obviously from Mary. She remembered it with such detail, even to remember the words that were spoken to her. And she must have gone over them again and again. Maybe as she was making that path to Elizabeth's house over all those many miles, she was just repeating this scene again and again in her mind, taking these things and pondering them in her heart. She really held to the word that was spoken to her, ultimately a word from God, communicated in her case through the angel Gabriel. But we too can hold to the word of God communicated to us through the sacred scripture. And that's such a source of strength for us. It helps us to encounter the strength of God. It helps us to be weak in His presence and to receive love like we do in a mother's arms. So as we draw close to the Lord, the Word made flesh, we can only have the Eucharist because Mary said yes in the Annunciation. We give thanks to God for being drawing so close to us and giving us a mother to care for us and also to accompany us on our journey of faith.